What is up, everybody? It is another episode of Crossroads. It is the December episode of Crossroads. And for those who don't know, Crossroads is a spinoff, I guess you could say, of the Exposit Bible Study Podcast. Crossroads is sort of taking a break from the Bible study and doing a little bit of conversation of topics that I see going on within the culture, right? And so whether it's politics, whether it's, you know, religious things that are going on within the world of Christianity, it's going to be any topic outside of the current Bible study that we do on Exposit. I'm doing it as a separate show on the channel. And so today's episode, as promised, will be going over the question that always seems to come up around this time, which is, can Christians celebrate Christmas, and we're going to tack on Easter as well. Can Christians celebrate these holidays, or must we do away with them because, you know, are they pagan, right? You know, there are people who would say that that Christianity didn't create the holidays. They are pagan in nature. And so we're going to address that. Are they pagan? If they are, should we celebrate them? Should we remove, right? And so at the jump on this, I think it's safe to say that this is not a salvific issue. If you, in your heart of hearts, in your conscience of consciences, do not want to celebrate the holidays, I would 100% say, do what your conscience says. This is an issue where we definitely don't want to bind one another's conscience. So I want to get that out of the way. If you listen to this and you're saying, nope, I'm not convinced, I'm not going to celebrate Christmas. You know what? I'm not going to argue with it, right? This is one of those issues. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like that within the church, we have to even consider this a cultural conversation that needs to be had. I think there's a lot better things to discuss in the realm of Christianity. But seeing that we are entering the Advent season, I felt like let's go ahead and cover it. If you want to celebrate it, without a doubt, so let's go off just sort of before I go into any of the information, where do I stand on it? Now, me personally, I have no issue celebrating Christmas on December 25th. I'm not a big fan of the decorations and the caroling and the trees, and honestly, I personally can go without all of that. But as a day to remember the incarnation of Jesus, I have no issue with celebrating Christmas in that. The commercialized sort of like, let's buy all the expensive things and give gifts. I'm not fully against that. I could go without it. I'll just be honest with you. I could go without it. But it's not something that I'll be like, oh, this is pagan. This is, you know, just commercialism. I think there is a commercial aspect to it. But I don't have an issue with a day where Christians come together and with their families celebrate the incarnation of Jesus. I have no issue with that. Same thing with Easter. I don't have an issue with a day celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. I think these are important events, not just in history, but as a Christian for our faith. The two most important events in the history of the world are the incarnation of Jesus and his resurrection. Those are the two things that the Christian life sort of rests upon. The fact that God came via virgin birth as a man, that he was born into humanity, that's an important event. But that ultimately points to the crucifixion, and ultimately the most important thing to ever happen in the history of the world. It is what the faith, I would say Paul agrees with me, because he said if Christ did not resurrect, our faith is in vain. The most important event in the history of the world is the fact that Jesus, after 3 days in the grave, resurrected, right? Was seen by over 500 eyewitnesses. And that is the most important event. And so I have no issue celebrating those two events on days we call Christmas and Easter. So the major topic, now I'm not, this isn't like an area of study for me. This is not an area I focus on, is the apologetics of like holidays, right? I think it's quite just historically inaccurate at all to say that Christianity did not have an influence on these holidays. So here's the thing, right? Now, I want to reference you guys to other sources. So that would be Wes Huff. Wesley Huff would be the guy that I would point you guys to. He has a video for Easter and for Christmas as to why they're not pagan. Now, I'm going to read his article from December 20th, 2022, that he wrote on the Gospel Coalition Canada page. I'm going to read this, this article saying that Christmas isn't pagan. It's by Wes Huff. I'm quoting from his article. I will post the link to it in the show notes, the description. So he says, growing up, I was taught that the date of Christmas, December 25th, was a borrowed pagan festival. I couldn't tell you exactly when or where, but I remember being told more than a few times that there were a myriad of ancient pagan festivals like Sol Invictus, Saturnalia, Brumalia, and European feasts like Yule that had took place on December 25th. The Christians, the narrative went, moved the celebration of Christ's birth to the place of these other pagan festivities in order to make it easier for converts and or encourage pagans to convert. In many ways, the story made sense. Why not supersede, redeem, or cover up the former pagan festivals with a Christian celebration? Christianize and baptize these already celebrated days with a new meaning that moved new and inquiring Christians away from the darkness of their former heathen worship and fill it with light. I was sometimes told certain pagan activities were inevitably smuggled in, sometimes purposefully, and other times completely unintentionally. Christmas trees, hollies, wreaths, and so on were all grandfathered trappings of a previous pagan context, forgotten and replaced. These decorations were incorporated into Christmas, and over time their original meaning was lost and simply associated with the Christian celebrations rather than their former pagan beginnings. All that, however, is bogus. So, if we turn back the pages of history and we look into the first-hand sources, none of the modern traditions associated with Christmas today turn out to be some lost trappings of a long-forgotten and profane past. If you tried to get the origin of these accusations, you would find that their beginning prove more modern than ancient. A lot of the blame falls on a Free Church of Scotland minister and certain concerns expressed by the Puritans of the 16th and 17th century. The Puritans were well-intentioned and undoubtedly pious. However, in their zeal to pursue truth, they did not always get it right. The rowdy and undisciplined celebrations that accompanied Christmas concerned the Puritans greatly, probably for the right reasons, but where the Puritans' motivations might have been well-intentioned, their solution to the perceived problem, at least on this topic, turned out to be throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Meanwhile, a Scottish minister named Alexander Hislop in the late 19th century also waged his own case against Christmas. Hislop wrote a pamphlet in 1853 titled The Two Babylons, which was eventually expanded into a book of the same name. In his book, he argued that Roman Catholicism found its beginning as a Babylonian mystery cult established during the Emperor Constantine's rule in the 4th century. Hislop argued that traditions like Christmas trees found their way into modern world from Europe, but that the Europeans had adopted them from Roman paganism, who in turn appropriated them from the ancient Babylonians. Hislop's work has a conspicuous lack of citations for any of these assertions and prefers to make statements rather than provide any sources. Nonetheless, many, if not all, of the detractions concerning modern Christian celebrations and traditions can be traced to these two sources: Puritan skepticism and Hislopian condemnation. The earliest mention of customs like Christmas trees were actually ascribed to Martin Luther. The story goes that during the winter evening stroll, Luther was overcome by the brilliance of the stars in the sky, painting the background over the evergreen forest. In order to capture that moment, Luther cut down and erected a tree in the main hall of their house, covering its branches with lighted candles. Santa, wreaths, mistletoe, and many other modern Christian traditions may not necessarily have much to do with the ancient Christian celebration, but they also don't have anything to do with overt paganism. I don't doubt that the Reformed Puritans and Alexander Hislop himself were well-intentioned in their desire to weed out paganism from Christian belief and practice. Aside, of course, from Hislop's fabrication of nearly all of ancient history. However, their understandings of many of the traditions they endeavored to critique were often shallow, misguided, or fabricated wholesale. Some of these critiques against Christmas sound like they could have been spoken from the pages of Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code, where very similar accusations are made. For example, Sir Leigh Teabing, the distinguished professor from Dan Brown's novel, retorts that, quote, "Nothing in Christianity is original. The pre-Christian god Mithras, called the Son of God and Light of the World, was born on December 25th. Thus, Brown portrays early Christianity as a group who were knowingly and purposely appropriating the traditions of the pagans in order to coerce them into conversion. In their effort to win out both the pagans and the growing Christian heresies, early Christianity is depicted as somewhat of a predatory religious movement willing to dismantle and appropriate other cults for its own growth and well-being. However, if you actually study what really took place within early Christianity, that portrayal couldn't be any further from the truth. To be sure, Christianity did stand its ground against paganism and heretical factions, but their portrayal as a proverbial religious bully on the playground is completely fiction. The reality is that modern Christmas traditions are far less sensational and nefarious than all that, and the date was not stolen from neighboring pagans. Excuse me. It is true that many other pagan festivals did happen around the winter solstice, but correlation does not equal causation. And when it comes to paganism and Christmas, the evidence for causation is very weak. While there were other festivals taking place on ancient Roman and European calendars, these had nothing to do with the Christians' choice for choosing the 25th as the date to celebrate the Incarnation. The origin of December 25th as the date of Christmas finds its beginning in the late 2nd and early 3rd century with the historian Sextus Julius Africanus. Africanus wrote a volume called Chronographiae, an early Christian treatise that attempted to chronologically cover world history from creation to his own day, based on calculations from his reading of Luke and Matthew's Gospels. Africanus concluded that Jesus was conceived on March 25th. For the birth, he then counted 9 months, which landed him on the date of December 25th. Africanus wasn't alone on his dating of Jesus' birth. A contemporary of Africanus, Hippolytus of Rome, wrote a commentary on the book of Daniel in the early 3rd century, in which he too states that Jesus was born on December 25th. It is true that Sol Invictus, the festival commemorating the Roman sun god, fell on December 25th. However, our earliest inscriptions concerning this festival place it at the beginning of December and not at the end. In his work, The Origins of the Liturgical Year, historian Thomas Talley argues that, quote, it is more likely that the Roman Emperor Aurelian moved Sol Invictus to December 25th to compete with the growing rate of Christianity, end quote. Talley makes this interesting observation that by the 3rd and 4th century, Christianity was on the clear rise and adherence to traditional Roman paganism was in a freefall. The trajectory of this shift in religious practice actually started a century earlier with the Roman magistrate Pliny the Younger. Pliny noted, potentially hyperbolically, that the Roman temples were being left empty due to the many Roman citizens becoming converts to Christianity. Julian, who was the Roman emperor for 3 years in the 4th century, writes about his frustration with the lack of Roman religious devotion to idols and specifically blames the Christians for the pagan crisis of faith. All this data leaves us with a quandary. It is more likely that within the 3rd and 4th century, the growing number of Christians copied the pagans. Is it more likely that within the 3rd and 4th century that the growing number of Christians copied the pagans, whose adherents were on a sharp decline and some last-ditch effort to convert holdouts? Or, on the other hand, did the desperate pagans copy the Christians whose faith and practice was growing in popularity? Based on all the available evidence, more and more ancient historians are pointing to the latter conclusion being the reality. Apart from Sol Invictus, which appears to have been placed on December 25th after the Christians had already acknowledged that as the date of Jesus' birth, none of the other ancient pagan feasts and festivals fall on that date. Around it, to be sure, but not on it. Saturnalia, for example, celebrated 14 days before January, keeping in mind that the ancient Roman calendar at the time had 2 more days in their month of December than ours today, that places Saturnalia on December 17th. The Brumalia and Bacchus feast were likewise celebrated earlier in the season in late November. Seeing as all these would fall before the date of December 25th, then if they were an attempt to copy and replace pagan festivals, they would have been doing a poor job at it. The pagans could have just as easily celebrated their traditional pagan holidays in the days and months leading up to December 25th and simply tacked Christmas on the end. Not a replacement, but an addition, which did not happen. In reality, the Christians had been recognizing and celebrating the incarnation and Jesus' birth for decades before we start to see firm designations for other pagan celebrations on December 25th. In AD 386, John Chrysostom says that Christmas was being celebrated on December 25th and describes it as a long-time tradition. The Philokalian calendar, a document produced in AD 354 for a wealthy Roman Christian named Valentius, had Christmas listed as a holiday on December 25th. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to celebrate Jesus' birth. However, just because the Bible never specifically commands us to celebrate it does not mean we shouldn't. Jesus himself traveled to Jerusalem, as recorded in John 10, to celebrate the Feast of Dedication, better known today as Hanukkah. The celebration came from 2nd century BC, commemorating the recovery of Jerusalem and subsequent dedication of the Second Temple at the beginning of the Maccabean Revolt. Hanukkah is not a celebration that the Bible says for God's people to participate in. It comes from the intertestamental period, the time between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New. However, Jesus has no problem traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Dedication. Despite it not being commanded in Scripture, it is fully consistent with Scripture. Why wouldn't you make a celebration at an event that represented God's work in the world and the preservation and redemption of his people? In a very similar way, why wouldn't we celebrate the incarnation on the birth of Christ? Secondly, the incarnation and birth of Christ is, along with Jesus' death and resurrection, the most awesome event in all of human history. Why wouldn't we want to carve out some specific time to celebrate such an amazing event? Why wouldn't we purposely set aside a time of the year like Advent to build up to the exception of our expectation of our coming Savior? Finally, why don't we take a cue from the Apostle Paul when he writes to the church in Corinth concerning those who were worried about eating meat sacrificed to idols? Therefore, he says in 1 Corinthians 8:4-6, therefore, as to eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven and on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we are all things exist and through whom we exist. God made everything good and just because someone tries to corrupt and twist something like a cut of meat, or for that matter, a pine tree, it doesn't mean that they were successful. Even if something has a meaning to a pagan, it does not mean that that is how God sees it. At the end of the day, I would never advise someone to go against their conscience. If you're reading this and you truly believe that modern Christmas practices are something you don't want to be a part of, that is fine. I have no problem with that, and the purpose of this type of article is not to coerce anyone who feels uneasy about celebrating this or any other holiday. I simply desire to point out that as Christians, we are followers of the truth, and the truth of the matter regarding this topic is that no modern Christian tradition can draw a straight line to any clear and decisive pagan origin. Finally, as Paul commands both his ancient and modern audience, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or regards religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Colossians 2:16. So that's from Wesley Huff on Christmas, right? So now I'm looking for Easter. The source is, again, I'll link this as well, from Baylor University, written March 2016. So I'll read this. The approach of Easter each year marks many things: an annual resurgence of bunnies, eggs, and pastel colors, the beginning of spring and the end of Lent, to name a few. Most importantly, of course, the Easter holiday serves as a reminder to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, there are people who insist the Easter holiday was not created to celebrate Christ's sacrifice, but rather that it has its roots in ancient pagan tradition, especially Babylonian. Misunderstanding about the changing date of the Easter holiday, the historical timeline, where the name comes from, and even the use of eggs and rabbits in the modern-day celebrations all contribute to this misconception. Christians have always celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, said Beth Allison Barr, PhD, Associate Professor of History. First century Christians celebrated weekly on Sundays, as both biblical evidence such as Acts 20 verse 7 and extra-biblical evidence such as the Didache suggest. T.A. Carson, research professor of the New Testament at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, said that the early biblical church likely chose Sunday as their day of worship because it was connected to the Lord's resurrection. The Bible said that Jesus' death and resurrection occurred around the time of the Jewish Passover that year, which is celebrated on the first full moon following the vernal equinox. The Last Supper was on the first day of Passover, and Christ's crucifixion occurred on its second day, resulting in today's recognition of Holy Thursday and Good Friday. Therefore, Christians today celebrate Easter on the Sunday following the first full moon, or on or after the spring equinox. The system for choosing the day on which Easter is celebrated was established at the First Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. The shifting date of the Easter holiday is merely a reflection of the varied dates of the first full moon on or after the spring equinox. The date on which Easter is celebrated clearly has nothing to do with any kind of pagan lunar worship or vernal equinox celebration, Barr said. However, there is still the theory that the holiday itself is derived from the pagan celebration of a goddess of spring and fertility, although no such event is known and predates the first Christian celebration of Easter. Easter was clearly being celebrated by Mediterranean Christians during the second century, and probably in the first as well, Barr said. As such, there is no way that it was derived from a Nordic or Germanic pagan festival that, if it historically existed, postdates the Christian celebration. By the second century, we have clear evidence that the Christian community was celebrating an annual commemoration of Christ's resurrection, Easter. Indeed, because of the quarrel over exactly when the precise date for this celebration should be, known as the Quarto Decimanism controversy, say that 12 times, it is clear that celebrating Easter was already a long-established custom by early Christians. The idea that the existence of a pagan celebration forming the roots of Christian Easter came from an 8th century scholar known as the Venerable Bede. Bede claimed that his work, The Reckoning of Time, there was a celebration of the goddess Eostre, which took place each April, that was replaced by the Christian celebration of the resurrection of Christ. However, there is no mention of this goddess in any other literature from the time outside of Bede's work. Therefore, we are unable to confirm the existence of such a pagan deity. The lack of evidence makes it unlikely that any kind of celebration in the goddess's honor existed. The issue is also one of etymology. Bede suggested that the term Easter was derived from the name of the month in which the goddess was supposedly celebrated, which was the modern equivalent of April. A more modern theory, though, is that the word Easter originated from a mistaken interpretation of the early Latin-speaking Christians' designation of Easter week as Hedomada Alba, or the Week of Alms, because of the white robes worn by the baptismal candidates during the time. Although in this context, Alba serves as the feminine form of Albis, meaning white, some thought it was the word Alba, meaning dawn. old High German speakers took the word Alba to mean dawn and started referring to the holiday as Eostaren, which meant dawn in their language. Eostaren eventually evolved into the contemporary German word for Easter, Ostern, and then the English Easter. Before the 4th century, the holiday was referred to as Pascha for its associations with Passover. The word for Easter in many European languages derives from Pascha, such as the French Paquet, Spanish La Pascua de Resurrección, the Dutch Pasen, and the Italian Pascha. I don't know if I'm pronouncing those right. By the way, most of the world still considers Easter as Pascha, not Easter. English is, I think, the only language that calls it Easter, by the way. The name Easter is clearly related to the word Pascha, and is more likely associated with the time that the resurrection is celebrated than any sort of vague pagan deity. Barr said, outside of the date, historical timeline, and name, some individuals point to the use of eggs and bunnies in today's celebration of Easter as remnants of pagan traditions. Many religions and traditional customs have used eggs and even rabbits, Barr said. But it doesn't mean that the Christian use of these symbols, especially eggs, is pagan. Historical parallels do not equal historic evidence. The Easter bunny was not used in Easter celebrations until the early modern world, and therefore the use of the rabbit has no historical or significant connection to any pagan festivals. Quote, I have seen arguments connecting Easter eggs to Babylonian, even Zoroastrian traditions, Barr said, but the medieval European world had no knowledge of these customs or celebrations. Historians didn't learn about them until very recently. The most historically logical route for Easter eggs is their use during the medieval Eastern traditions. Eggs were prohibited during Lent, so in preparation for the return to eating eggs, people decorated eggs and used them as part of their celebrations. This is the most reasonable source for the tradition we continue today. In today's celebration, eggs are used to commemorate new life, specifically the new life of Jesus. Easter is and has always been a celebration of the resurrection of Christ, Barr said. Even if Beattie was correct that the name for the time of celebration, the resurrection, derived from an unrelated Anglo-Saxon goddess, it still doesn't affect the content of Easter. The only reason Easter exists as a holiday is because of the resurrection. It is a shame that modern, and I would argue unsubstantiated, debates about its pagan roots have so distracted Christians from the purpose of Easter, which is celebrating the risen Christ. That was written by student news writer Jenna Press at Baylor University in 2016. Again, I'll quote or post that link. So I read those two articles rather than, you know, try to communicate the history. I read those two articles to sort of give information. Now I'm going to give my opinion. I think it's honestly kind of a waste of time to debate these things, right? So here's where this comes in. It comes in unsubstantiated from two groups of people. You have the pagan or Gentile, Gentile or unbelieving people who are like, ah, these Christians, you're so judgmental, but you don't even realize that your own holiday of Christmas is pagan, right? I saw this on a post about the town that I live in's Christmas, but was supposed to be the Christmas parade. They don't call it that anymore, but they had a float for a business that was like a tarot card reading, like seance company that just opened in where I live. And they had a float promoting their business, and everyone on it was dressed up in like ancient, like Norse, you know, someone was dressed up as Krampus, right? Which, by the way, there's a weird, like, I don't remember growing up, you know, I'm 28, right? So it's not like I've been here long enough, like, to say, oh, back in my day, right? But, like, I don't remember growing up as a child ever really seeing references to Krampus in Christmas. Like, this debate of, is Christmas, you know, pagan or not, has been going on. Like, I remember vividly hearing about this. But, like, the specifics of trying to reinsert Krampus into the Christmas tradition, it's newer. And if we go back to what I said about Halloween, there seems to be a concerted effort in the world and building the more demonic, sort of evil, you know, adding those elements to not really Christian celebration. And I think as Christians, we should call it out. And so I just, anyway, but they had a float, presenting like some pagan things and someone called it out and instantly, oh, well, if only the Christians knew that Christmas was pagan, and it's not. And anytime you mention Christmas is not pagan, you get sort of laughed at it. Oh, well, you don't know your history. Well, no. You don't actually know the history, right? There is no actual historical evidence that shows that Christmas nor Easter has ever been a celebration of the pagan tradition. And that everything's right. So you'll have the sort of unbeliever who throws that. And here's my argument to them. You're never going to win that debate, right? I'm not saying don't associate with it and don't engage in it. Absolutely, we should engage with the unbeliever on these topics. But I think the conversation you have within the unbelievers isn't arguing is Christmas pagan or not. I think the conversation should be, here is the reason we celebrate Christmas, here is the reason we celebrate Easter, and giving them the gospel. Because you're not going to win them to your side with anything but the gospel. The gospel is the power that will save them. In the way I always look at this, whether you want to call this apologetics or just embracing the culture as we embrace it, the only message that Christians have that can change the world is the gospel. And so, to me, the way that I look at this is, if you choose to celebrate Easter, if you choose to celebrate Christmas, more power to you. As long as you're celebrating the intended purpose. Are you celebrating the incarnation of Jesus at Christmas? Are you celebrating his resurrection on Resurrection Sunday or on Easter? Are you celebrating that? Right? And so this other group that you have sort of in this debate are the fundamentalist believers who will also say that it's pagan and therefore we should not participate. You'll have those who say, well, holidays are never mentioned in the Bible. And I would say, well, you're absolutely wrong about that. There are three feast days, which would be considered holidays, by the way. I mean, the feast of, you know, you have Passover, you have Sukkot, which is feasts, the feast of booths, and then you have the Feast of Weeks, which is, I can't think of the name we call it, Pentecost, excuse me. So you have Pentecost, you have Passover, and you have Sukkot, which all are feasts, they're holy days, really holy weeks, in which the Jews would celebrate. And those are in the scriptures. But just like the Wes Huff article mentioned, you also have the Feast of Dedication, which is Hanukkah, which was not included in the law. The other three were required by Jewish law for every Jew to celebrate. And if you could, they were actually, and they weren't the only feast. think there were 7 feasts in total. But these 3, Passover, Sukkot, and Pentecost, were the only, or were 3 that everyone had to celebrate. And if you could pilgrimage, if you were physically and monetarily able to pilgrimage, you had to pilgrimage to Jerusalem for those 3 events, right? And so we see that, right? And we see 3 different times in the Gospels, Jesus goes to Jerusalem for Passover, or we see that like the Transfiguration happened during the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, which is why, I mean, if you read it and you see, I think it's Peter who says, you know, should I build the booths here, right, to celebrate here, is what you'll end up seeing. But I think it's John 10 is where it comes from. It could be Matthew 10. No, right here. John 10:22, it says, at the time the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple to the portico of Solomon. So this is Hanukkah, right? The Feast of Dedication is Hanukkah. Jesus did not have to go to the temple for Hanukkah. No Jew was required to celebrate Hanukkah. But let me tell you something. A first century AD Jew would have celebrated Hanukkah. Why? Because it was a commemoration of just the absolute miracle that was the Maccabean Revolt. Right? Read the historical account of the Maccabean Revolt and just be amazed at what happened as the Maccabee family essentially won the war with the Greeks at the time. And Antiochus Epiphanes, I think, was still king at the time. And just completely decimated, won back their freedom. They dedicated the temple that had been desecrated. It's this idea, this time period is where we get the abomination that causes desolation, right? And so, but you weren't required to go to Jerusalem to celebrate this. But Jesus did. Jesus did. And so Jesus celebrated it. And so I think that it is okay, even though it's not a command for Christians to celebrate Christmas. I do think, however, we should celebrate every day the incarnation and the resurrection of Jesus. Right? I don't think we should. So for me, I don't personally think we should make Christmas and Easter like the only time we celebrate, right? We shouldn't be Christer, what we call Christer Christians. These shouldn't be the only 2 times you celebrate the birth and the resurrection of Jesus. That should be your daily existence. But to have a day or a season, I prefer the idea of a season, like the season of Advent we're starting today. I'm 100% in saying, like, we should have this season as we prepare for, and so I'll end this by saying, I think everyone in the world knows that Jesus was not born on December 25th, right? The math was obviously wrong that Africanus did. With that being said, there's nothing wrong with celebrating his birth on December 25th. There's nothing wrong with it. And so I know this isn't necessarily the most in-depth. This whole idea of Crossroads is to be more opinionated. Anyway, so these are my opinions on the topic. I personally am not a big, you know, fan of decorations and making the day and all the, you know, festivities like I could go without them, to be honest, but I think as long as the intention of the heart is to worship Christ and to remember and be thankful for the reason of the season, they say, as they say. I mean, we're starting this Advent season leading to the birth of Jesus, which automatically point, like the birth of Jesus has to point to his death and his resurrection. So we're essentially starting Easter season now. Like Advent just sort of leads into Easter, because, you know, Epiphany, if we're going off the actual Advent calendar, Advent starts, I think, what is it, the first day of December, and it goes through, January 6th, and then that's Epiphany, right? And then you live 3 months, and then you have Lent, and then you have Easter, and then, right, so I like the way the calendar is. It's sort of circular, and it should always be a remembrance of the birth and the resurrection of Jesus. I think we should live that way every day of our life. So that's this episode. Let me know what you think about this, and until the next episode. On Friday, we will be back in Exposit. We'll be starting John 6. We're going to talk the feeding of the 5,000, and we'll see what is happening there, what's going on there. Can't wait to study that with y'all. Until then, until the next episode, y'all have a great rest of your day. I'll see you on Friday.